Good morning. It's great to be with you all. Great to worship with you. I've been looking at the first few chapters of Genesis lately. I've been looking there, and as many of you guys have been studying in our adult Sunday school, while I was there, I realized something surprisingly unique about the first few characters. And it's surprisingly unique about them, but also it's still true for many of us today. In fact, I think it's true for all of us today. It's that we are undercover. Now, I don't know what that means to you. I don't know what that brings to mind, that we are undercover. It's not that we're all secret agents. And thankfully, if you're here this morning, it's not that you're still under the covers in bed. So thanks for being here. But we all are under the cover of something. It starts in the first pages of Scripture. In the first verses, as we're introduced to humans, Genesis 1 tells the story of God creates the world. He creates the universe, all for His glory and a specified symphony of His knowledge and power. He orchestrates a world in which life can survive and thrive. And this story of creation ends with the first verse of Genesis chapter 2 saying, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work." From all of creation, the book of Genesis zooms down into a garden. Focuses on a garden, and this is where we start to see how we are under His cover. This cover that's provided by God. And have you ever just taken time to appreciate where God has placed you? Have you taken time to appreciate where God has put you? Sure, sometimes in Iowa, it gets a little rainy. Sure, sometimes it gets a little hot and humid. Sometimes it's a little muggy. Sometimes it's a little cold. But every scientist would say, some in their own way, that it is a miracle that we're on a planet that sustains life. Can we think about where God's placed us? The opening of Genesis continues. It says, "Then the Lord formed a man from the dust, from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. And there He put the man He had formed. The Lord God made trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters." Notice this is where God placed Adam. It says this is where God put the man He had formed. Intentionally, God placed him in an area where He had designed specifically for him. Intentionally, God ordered not only the world to be suitable for life, but He puts Adam in a spot where, in relationship with God, Adam can flourish. God puts him in a garden. He puts him in a garden with all kinds of trees that God had planted. And notice, God goes above and beyond. It isn't just any kinds of trees, but God goes further. God gives trees that are pleasing to the eye and good for food. It's amazing the way that God not only gives, but He gives in ways that are unimaginable. God could have just given fruit trees, ugly little fruit trees, crabapple trees. Growing up, we had two trees in our backyard that were mangled, that were twisted all around, but they had these really good apples. God could have given Adam those kinds of trees, the ones that you hate to look at, but you love to go to for the fruit. God could have given Adam these trees that were just beautiful. The trees that you drive through the park over up at the Wapsie, and you see all these trees that are changing colors in the fall, and you just think about how beautiful they are. But you go to them, and unless you like chewing on bark, they don't give you much. But God combines the two in this garden, and he gives Adam these trees that are pleasing to the eye, that are pretty, and they're good for food. And this is where God placed him, and also God puts two special trees within Adam's reach. God gives Adam the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God gives Adam this tree of life. God is painting this picture and putting Adam in this specific place. A place that looks like paradise. A place where he can be in relationship with God. This is where God has covered Adam in. And even here, God placed protection on the picture-perfect garden where he placed Adam in. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." God puts protection there. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you'll certainly die.'" You see, Adam wasn't under the cover of God only in a physical sense. When God gives Adam this command, what he's telling Adam is, "I have you covered in each area of wisdom crucial to the mission I have for you. The knowledge you need, you have. The wisdom you lack is in me." So what God tells Adam in this garden when he says, "There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't need to eat from it. In fact, you must not eat from it because the consequences of that is that you will die." God gives him protection, but the choice of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a choice between relying on God as our basis for our daily sustenance in each aspect of life, or to take it for ourselves. To tell God we don't want to rely on him because we want to make our own way. We want to define, we want to decide what good and evil will be in our lives rather than going to God. In this, we see the first choice that each of us have in our daily lives. We have the choice to remain in who God is, to trust his watch and his guidance, to trust his wisdom over us that covers us. We have this option to decide for ourselves what we see right and wrong to be. God gives us the option to either trust him or to seize autonomy for ourselves. The choice becomes, what cover will you be under? Will you be covered by God's sovereignty over your life, or will you choose to define your own life by what's right or wrong? When we look into these two options here in the first pages of the book of Genesis, we see God's cover. We've already talked about what it means that we are under his creation. That God created this world. We're in this wonderful world created by his power to show his glory in the mission that he has laid out for man. To find that mission, we look back to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God lays out this mission for man. It's to increase, to subdue, and to rule over the fish, the birds, and every living creature. Now think about this. If I were to tell you that someone in the Bible was in charge and in rule of creation, of all of the created things, all of the other creation. If I were to tell you that someone was in control of that, who would we say? Go ahead, Sunday school answer. Jesus, there we go, Sunday school answer. Right there, it's usually right. If I were to tell you that there was one ruler over everything, we would say it's Jesus. We would say God is the ruler over all creation, amen?
Amen.
Amen. But God, in the first books of the Bible, God reaches down and he says, I want to partner with you. I want you to be my co-heirs. I want you to be my co-creators, my co-rulers. God gives man this mission of saying, I want to partner with you in tending to this earth. In showing my glory through this creation, I want to partner with you to do this. That's the invitation that God gives. Is that we can join in hand with him to be his image bearers. He gives man this ability to increase, to reproduce, to make new. He gives man this charge through his image and through his wisdom, through his command, we have this charge to be able to tend to the earth, to rule over the fish, the birds, the wild animals that crawl across this world. We have this charge to partner with him. God is giving a mission to mankind. God wants us to be part of this, hand in hand. We have this choice to be in relationship with him. He knows it can be a beautiful thing. And here's the thing, he doesn't expect us to do it alone, because we see in God's cover, we see back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, he gives us this. He says, in 2:18, he says, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. So I'll make a helper suitable for him. It says, now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the wild animals, all the birds in the sky. He had brought them to man to see what he would name them and whether man would call each living thing, what was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. You see, Adam is starting to take up this charge that God had given him. He's starting to do these things. But then it tells us, the latter part of verse 20 as we jump down, it says, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. No suitable helper is found. So the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. We go back to that. What God does, puts Adam into a sleep. While he's sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had created, he had taken out of the man. He brought her to the man, and man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. It's a little detail placed in the story of creation. It's a small sentence placed in this image of God creating relationships. That ending verse that says Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. God creates woman. He creates Eve. This perfect partner for Adam. He places her right in front of him. And Adam sings to her this poem. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. She was taken out of man. It explains to us this perfect union that God designed and created called marriage. It says it's why a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife. God creates in Adam and Eve intimacy. He creates a mutual trust between man and woman. It says Adam and Eve looked at each other and they were naked and they felt no shame. They were in this complete unified design that God had given them. And I believe this was a beautiful moment in Scripture. God created them to be in a right relationship with each other, a trusting relationship with each other. But not only that, God gives them a right relationship with God. We see throughout the creation story that God is creating each individual aspect of creation. And he creates the waters. He creates the skies. He creates the ground. He creates the fish and the birds and the animals. And after each time, he's saying, it is good, it is good, it is good. He creates man and he says, it is very good. It's complete. It's how I intend it to be. And so God has this relationship that he has built into humanity. It's the relationship that we are going to see later on in the story where God walks in the garden with Adam and Eve. And in this nonchalant way that it seems to be said, it says that this was a normal everyday occurrence for Adam and Eve to debrief their day with their Creator. And this is the relationship that God created us in, and this is the relationship that God strives for with us, that he offers for us to be in a right relationship with him, to be walking with him hand in hand. And we've talked already about one of the covers of God, this cover of love that he gives in protection but permission. It's that God gives this free will and this choice of the knowledge of good and evil. God gives Adam and Eve this choice. He puts it within their reach. He says, I want you to choose this relationship with me. I want you to choose to be in this trusting relationship. I want you to choose to love. I want this to be something you're willingly walking into, that we can be in this relationship. And so he places this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which can seem like it'd be a weird thing for God to do. We think, how much better would it have maybe been if God just wouldn't have created this tree? I mean, just taking out the possibility. It's what I try to do for Carolyn. The other day, I was down on a hospital visit in Iowa City. And in Iowa City, there's this place called Hertz Donuts. And instead of bringing back two donuts, instead of having the donut of the knowledge of good and evil and the donut of life, instead I just got one for myself. And I came home and Carolyn saw the bag that said Hertz Donuts on it. And I was just trying to protect you, sweetheart. But we think, why didn't God do that? Why didn't God just give the tree of life and just leave the knowledge of good and evil out, the one that leads to possibly death? And we see that God gives, in his cover, he gives the choice for relationship. Choice to love. Choice to accept that relationship. The last cover that we see is that Adam and Eve are covered by God's life. It's the life that God makes available to them. He gives them the tree of life. They have this tree that we see in the garden. And the thoughts are, if Adam and Eve would have been able to remain in the garden, then they would have lived forever under that cover of God, being able to take of the tree of life over and over. With all these things, with God's creation, with his relationships, with his choices, with his life, we see that there's a second choice instead. See that there's the choice of being covered by God or to choose to craft that cover for ourselves. And it's the choice that Adam and Eve make. You know the story. You know the questions. A serpent comes to man and woman in the garden. Did God really say? There's an offer. There's a temptation. Make the choice. Make the distinction. Why don't you make your own right and wrong? Why don't you be your own God? It all comes crumbling down with the shared bite of a fruit. See, we've begun to witness the cover of self. It takes the life that God had given, and instead it chooses death. The command, you must not eat from it or you will certainly die, begins to look at death and say, maybe that chance isn't too bad. The cover of self looks at the walks in the garden, says, why be with God when I can be my own God? We slowly see life turn to death. We slowly see choosing to play God as more important. Has implications far back, far past just those. It's the perfect relationship. The perfect intimacy with one another turns into the relationship between man and woman that we see throughout the rest of chapter 3 and onward in the story of man. In chapter 3, verse 7, the story goes, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together, made coverings for themselves. You know who they were hiding from? Sin destroys intimacy. They had to hide from each other. They were the only two around at that point. They realized at that moment that they had something to hide. They had allowed sin into their lives that caused separation, caused a lack of trust, caused a vulnerability. Later on, it causes finger pointing. When it comes time to face their God with the choice that they made, they blame the woman, the man, the serpent. They even try to blame the God who put it all there. One of the sad pictures of this story is the way that we can look our relationships today and see a mirror image of what's going on. We see where this becomes real. Sure, sometimes we can look at life. We can see the times where we make the distinctions between what's right and what's wrong, and we think that we get away with choosing to play God in our own way, and we think that we're doing all right. But we start to look at the relationships that are broken. We start to look at the consequences face to face, and For as many times as we say we can't believe that Adam and Eve would have been silly enough to take that bite of fruit, we recognize that we make the same decisions. All these things happen because sin enters in. The last and the greatest thing, the cover of self leads to a broken relationship with God. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. And the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, the God that had created them, the God who walked with them, the God who gave them life and offered a partnership. They heard him walking in the garden and they hid. It's the beginning of the end. But it's not where God stops. Because the next verse says, then God called to the man, where are you? It's the question we have today. God calls to man, where are you? Here begins the mission of God, which leads to the cross of Jesus. This begins what brings us back to that relationship with God. This begins to turn death to life. This begins God choosing to restore relationships. This begins the mission of reconciliation that God brings. This begins the beauty from the ashes. Verse 21, God takes an animal, and to cover Adam and Eve, this animal is slain to make garments for Adam and Eve. This is the first of the beginning of the system of sacrifice. A cover for sin, all of which Christ would be the greatest. It's the message of hope that we have in a world where things seem shattered. God reaches out. God calls. Where are you? Are you undercover? Will you pray with me? God, we pray today to be under your cover. God, we see the stories and we see the sin, and God, sometimes we want to separate ourselves from Adam and Eve, and we want to say that we wouldn't make that choice, but God, we know that in each of our lives we make that same choice time and time again. We choose to define right and wrong for ourselves. We choose to reject that relationship, to reject that partnership. We choose to break the relationships that you've given us, but God, we pray today that we can come back. God, we thank you that this wasn't the end. This is only the beginning. God, we see the promise through laying out the consequences to Adam and Eve that there will soon be one that comes that crushes the head of the snake. God, we recognize that that is Jesus, that he has defeated sin, that he has defeated shame, that he has broken the, brought back the broken relationships and mended them together by the, your power, God. And we thank you that we can choose today to be in relationship with you. God, we pray that we will choose to be under your cover, because God, the cover we create from ourselves just doesn't do. Can never compare. So God, we choose you today. We choose to walk step in step with you. And God, we pray that we'll have courage to take those steps. Step out from all of our hiding places and to say, here I am, God. To lay down what we've done, but to accept your grace that you give. We thank you for your love. We thank you for Jesus, the life that he brings. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.